Sorry, I don't have the jokes tonight that Pastor had this morning. I don't have that kind of humor. Good to be here. Good to be here. Hey, we're singing in the garden. You guys remember the song we just sang? I actually have pictures in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you want to look at them tonight after church, feel free to come up. I have them on my phone and have them on my tablet. A great experience for me because I actually got to preach in the Garden of Gethsemane, so it was kind of very neat for me, great experience. So if you want to see those things, feel free to ask me after church. I'll let you see each picture for a quarter apiece. Amen. I'm trying to get back to Israel. Anyway, it's good to be here tonight. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I've asked a couple gentlemen to share their stories and how God has increased their faith. I'm going to call upon them here in a little bit. But before we do those things, I'm going to read a portion of scripture from Genesis chapter number 22. And this is where we're going to go tonight. Again, it's another part of our series that we're dealing with, and that's titled, Here Am I. And tonight is, Here Am I, Increase My Faith. And God brings things in our lives, I believe, for one reason, and that's to test our faith. And we see this not only in the life of Abraham, but I believe we overlook a person in this lesson as well, and that's Isaac. And he had great faith as well, and we'll deal with that tonight. And I'm going to read these verses down to verse number 13. there's one verse here that I got caught up in because it talks about a lamb, and then it's changed from a lamb to a ram. Last week I got to share with you how I saw the lambs on the hillside in Jerusalem, and not only did I get to see the lambs, but I also got to see rams at the same time, and that was a unique experience for me. So I'm glad that God has given me a tremendous memory as I look back upon these things. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and as I pray, then we'll read this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, what a great day that we're able to come to your house and to be able to serve and worship you. God, I pray for these, first of all, these two gentlemen that are come forth. I pray that you just calm their nerves. I pray, Lord, that they that would say the words that you would want us to hear tonight so that they can be a blessing to us. Lord, use me as I go through your word and teach your people. Thank you for this opportunity that you've given to me. And we ask you just work and bless in your name. Amen. So in verse number 1 of chapter number 22 of Genesis, and it says, And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I knowest that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. So we see a great story here. And this is a part where not only Abraham, but Isaac as well, Hear my God, increase my faith. Now, I know that when your faith is being increased, there is one point that I want to deal with tonight, and that is the process of faith building. And so I've asked a couple gentlemen to come forward tonight, and I'm going to ask Donovan to come forward tonight, and he's going to talk to us briefly for about 5 minutes, if he can do briefly. I don't know about him. He said he gave me the short version of a story this morning, and I fell asleep during that one. But he's going to give us how God worked in his life. And I'm just going to ask you to grab a microphone. I'm going to use this yellow one. And just tell us how God used a circumstance in your life to help increase your faith. Now, I want you to understand something. This isn't to bring glory to Donovan. It's to bring glory to God. Because God has his hand upon every single one of us, and he wants our faith to increase. And so as Donovan speaks, listen. And then when he's done speaking, I'm going to ask my Uncle Greg to come up. And when he's done, I'm going to go over our lesson very quickly.
At the end of August 2017, I was with my son having dinner in my apartment. And we had just finished up a movie. And when I stood up to gather our dishes, take them into the kitchen, my back popped partially, as I'm sure some of you know that feeling when you have a back that just partially. So I leaned back to try and finish that, and when I came back up, my blood pressure bottomed out, and I started to fall forward, and my son, he saw me start to fall, and he made it to me just in the nick of time to push me over to the right, just enough so that just this hand went through my glass table. The glass was about an inch thick. If he had not got to me within that time, I would have fallen square on that table, and just the base of that table would have broken my neck. But when I hit that glass and I went down, when I came back up, I saw a piece of glass in my wrist, and of course, because of the weight of the glass fell out of my wrist, and there was quite a bit of blood going everywhere. And called 911, my son found something for a tourniquet, put it on there, waited for the ambulance, and the blood was coming very, very quickly. And even after the tourniquet was on, I was trying to hold it. I was trying to hold it up to my side, my stomach. And if anybody's ever felt their own blood going down the stomach, not very fun. But fire truck got there first, paramedic put another tourniquet on, then the ambulance got there. And on the way to the hospital, which was Bergen Mercy, they were the trauma center on call that night. At one point in time, I lifted up my arm, and the pool of blood that was underneath me, the guy that was back there that was supposed to be keeping me calm, his eyes got bigger than saucers. That didn't help very much. But when I got into the emergency room, one of the first things that I remember the nurse saying to the doctor was, why was I still conscious? I had no idea other than visually, I had no idea how much blood I had lost. And later, I had found out I had lost just under 2 liters of blood. And not only did they not understand why I was still conscious, but they didn't understand why I hadn't gone into cardiac arrest because of the, the rapidness of the blood loss. And I'll tell you that it's only by the grace of God that I'm standing here. It's only by the grace of God that my son was there that night. It's only by the grace of God that I was able to keep from losing more blood than what I did, because cut everything. I cut the tendons. I cut both arteries. Everything. There was nothing. There was nothing that was holding my hand on other than bone and the upper part here. But bless the Lord, for he does look after us if we put our faith in him. So my 5 minutes are shorter than your 5 minutes ever could be.
So that's an obstacle that God used in the life of Donovan to build his faith in God. God gives us these obstacles, and we got to rise to the occasion when those obstacles come in. Now, Uncle Greg, he's going to come forward, and he's going to give me a different story that I never heard before. And I'm looking forward to that. So, Uncle Greg, it's all yours. And I hope this is encouraging to you, because it's encouraging to me.
Basically, most of you know that I lived on the wrong side of the law for years. And the prayers of this church got me arrested many times. And it took, I don't know, 5-6 times getting arrested for the Lord to get a hold of me. And I asked God to get me clean this over, because I couldn't do it. So he did that. Now, we're going to go to what Chad's never heard. The first year of missions conference, we was sitting here, and I think it was Brother Ziner. He even might have been the big guy. I can't think of his right name right now.
Kimmel.
Brother Kimmel asked during the missions conference to speak, asked God what he wanted to, for him to give, for me to give. Well, I did. God gave me a number. I said, no way. And I gave what I wanted. And the Lord blessed, even though I didn't listen to what he said. And this went on for a couple of years. I asked and I got that same number. And I still did what Greg wanted to do. And 2 years ago, when he's in the hospital, Brother Ziner was up here and basically spoke the same thing about ask God what you want him to want you to give for missions conference. And he didn't speak to me. Then the next time in the missions conference, Brother Ziner also brought up, if God don't speak to you, something's wrong. So I asked again. I still didn't get no answer. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll give what you asked me to do first time. And I did that. And every year before that, the Lord's blessed, you know, a raise or money showed up immediately to pay the whole year. And, you know, I was expecting a raise when I did that, and it never happened. And then this went on to the next year. I upped my missions a little bit more, and nothing happened. Well, partway through last year, I got up. Greg used to make it easy. And the Lord's still working on me. And it's a blessing that he is, and I thank him.
Amen.
That's what I can say.
Amen. These are great lessons of objects that are being put in our lives to increase our faith in him. And little did I know that you were part of his object until just now, to have his faith increased. And without a doubt, I've seen your faith increase, Donovan. I've seen God increase your faith in many areas, and it's amazing how God works. And these are our here am I moments, where we can say, okay, God, here am I, increase our faith. Increase my faith, because I need more faith in you. So there is a faith-building process that takes place in our life. When building faith, I've learned that there are always steps that we have to take. And we need to take those steps. We need to move forward. It's no different than, you guys have heard my analogy of an enemy. If we want to have victory over an enemy, we don't take a step back from the enemy, do we? We advance on the enemy. We let them know our presence. We let them know that we're not going to be defeated. We let them know that we're not scared. And so there's a step process. The same thing with faith. You got to take those steps when those steps are given to you. Verse number 2, it says, God tempted Abraham. We got to understand something. God did not tempt Abraham to sin, but at this particular meeting, it was a test of Abraham's faith. Remember, Abraham has already had his hear my moment earlier on when God took him on his journey. Now he's on his second hear my moment with his son Isaac at this point in time. And this is a step that a father would be hard to deal with, to be honest with you. I'm not like many of you folks in here. I don't have multiple children. I have one child. And she makes up for not having multiple kids, believe me. But I could not even imagine being asked of God to sacrifice my own child. That is a step of faith, I'm going to be honest with you, that I would be scared of. But those are the moments where we need to say, God, here am I, increase my faith. So Abraham's faith was tested at this point in time. One thing that we got to understand about this situation is a test of faith is put in our lives for a very specific reason, and that is for growth. We need to grow. And how are we able to grow without faith? And so they're there for a reason. And that's why it's called faith building. And when we're in these areas, sometimes it seems it's dark and it seems very lonely. And we don't understand everything. But one thing that I want you to be assured of, we need to be confident during those times when God is testing our faith. We need to be confident that God is doing a work in you and for you and for his glory. Those are three things that we need to remember when those tests of faith comes to our life. It's a growth process. Unfortunately, we don't see a lot of growth in so-called Christians' lives. And it makes me wonder, is their faith in God real? And I'm not trying to say that they're not saved by any means, but there ought to be some growth in your life. I've also understand as we go through those areas of our faith being tested, God has the ability to bring you into those areas of faith testing moments. Not only does he have the ability to do that, but he also has the ability to bring you out of those areas as well. And God sees people through those times. And what I've understood and have observed in the lives of people is during those moments is the protection of God's hands upon his children. If we were to step back and take a look at the big picture, we can see God's hand of protection on our lives and other individuals' lives as well during those times of testing. Here's what I kind of find of funny. We have faith for our salvation. Thank God for that. Amen. We have faith that God can save us from hell and save us into heaven. But faith in other things, we lack. And when we lack faith in other things, here's what we do. We put God in a box and we limit his abilities. That's what we do. But we say, God, I have the faith to trust you to save me from hell to heaven, but I don't have the faith that you'll deliver me from this persecution I'm going through at work. God, I don't really have the faith that you'll deliver me from my financial situation, which isn't good at this point in time. God, I don't have the faith that you'll restore our marriage that we're struggling with at this point in time. I say this for this reason. We put God in a box and we limit his abilities. If he has the ability to put us in it, he has the ability to bring us out of it. Abraham was called by God, and he said, here am I. One of the things that I begin to look at is there is no hesitation or no questions that were asked with Abraham to God at this point in time. He said, here am I. Okay, God, I trusted you earlier on in my life when I was Abram. And you called me to go on a journey to a place that I didn't know where I was going, and I had no knowledge of the place. And God, you brought me to this place, you delivered me, and I've seen your hand of protection upon me. I've seen how you brought me through a situation that I had no understanding of, and you delivered me from this. And now, God, here am I, and if you want me to increase my faith in you, do with me what you will. And God did something that was asked of him that we probably could not even imagine in our own lives. And here's the other thing that I begin to look at. There's no question, there's no hesitation. What I looked at here in verse number 1 through verse number 2 is his simple trust in God. His simple trust in God. And folks, that's what we need to have in our lives, is not only our faith in God, but we need to trust in God. Being confident in God, knowing that he will deliver us during those times when our faith is being tested. When we're allowing that faith to be tested for him. And we need to be understanding of those things. Faith is letting go. So often we think that faith is holding on to something. Faith isn't holding on to anything, but it's simply letting go and trusting God in all his situations. That's what you and I need to do. Is Alex up here tonight? Alex, come here. This is my little nephew. I got a date with him in the future. I'm supposed to take him hiking, and he's been reminding me of that, and I'm looking forward to that. But he's going to do something tonight that's going to demonstrate some faith in him. I want you to stand on this chair. It'll hold you up, okay? Now, I want you to see what just took place. Did you not just hear me ask him to stand him on a chair? He stood on that chair. He was willing. And then he placed his feet upon a chair. And what took place? The chair held him up. Now, if I was to stand on that chair, it might not be the case. It might collapse on me. But he got up there. He was willing. The second thing that I notice is, as we just read the scripture, you trust me, don't you? Now it's going to come to a part where he's not going to be so sure. Now you're going to look forward. You're not going to look at me. Now you might be a little bit nervous. You just keep looking forward. There's a thing that we do in our family on occasion, and my daughter's notorious for this, and sometimes she scares me. She'll just walk up and says, trust fall. And she'll fall right into my arms. And sometimes it catches me off guard. Alex, do you trust me if I say to fall back in my arms that I'm going to catch you? Think about this. What's he doing? He's holding on to. Faith isn't holding on to. What is faith? It's letting go. Alex, just let go. Trust me, I will catch you. Just trust me. I'm right here. See, sometimes we're so unsure that we're not going to fall into the safety net of God. And so we hold on to things. But faith isn't holding on to, you can go sit by your mom again, faith is letting go. And that's where you and I need to be in our life. There is a building process in faith. And we hold on to it, but we need to let go. We might not be aware where we're going to fall, but be assured, when you fall, God will catch you. God will catch you. Do you remember when your kids were little? Think about this. When your kids were little, and you couldn't wait for them to walk, and so as mom and dad, you'd be on the ground with them, and you would coerce them into walking towards you. And what would take place as that baby would get off its knees and begin to wobble around and begin to take a step or two? And as soon as that baby begins to lose its balance, which is probably much right away when they first learn, what does the parent do? The parent rushes in and catches the child. Why? Because the parent doesn't want the child to get hurt. They're their protection. They're their safety net. And we need to be willing to let go and just fall and let God catch us. Faith isn't you controlling the situation, but it's allowing God to have total control of that situation. That's hard for us to do. I've told you folks a few months ago that I'm a person who likes to be in control of things. But God has a sense of humor, and he reminds me, hey, Chad Springer, you're not in control, I'm in control. And he shows me that quite often in my life. So we try to control the situation, but that doesn't take faith. Faith is letting God take control of the situation. Well, how do we do those things? Well, some of us might be faced with some issues in our life where we might say, God, you know, God, my parents are ill, and there's nothing I can do. I'm not a doctor. I can't cure them. But God, they're in your hands. You're in control. That's hard to do at times, but that's where we need to be in our lives, is letting God be in control of the situation. Don't worry about the outcome, because when God's in control, the outcome's going to be good, whether however we look at it, it's going to be good. Allowing God to be in control of the situation. Your faith in God is a testimony, not only to others, but your faith to God is a testimony to your children. And it speaks volumes to your children. Isaac watched his father long before this event ever took place in his life. I am a son. I have a father. I watched my father as I was growing up. I watched how he walked. Sometimes I tried to imitate that. I listened to his voice. I tried to imitate his voice, because that's what young men do. They watch the behavior of their father. And I watched the behavior of my father, no different than Isaac watching his father. Watching his father being tested on many different occasions with his faith, and Isaac seeing how he came through those things because his God delivered him through those things. He watched his father long before this event, and he saw that the faith his dad had was in an almighty God. It wasn't faith in somebody else. It wasn't faith in himself. It was faith in God. Verse 5 is a tremendous example of that. You go back to verse number 5, it says, And Abram said to his young men, Abide ye here at the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Think about that verse. One, it's demonstrating great faith in God. Two, it's demonstrating the confidence that he has in God, knowing what God had asked him to do. And now Abraham is in response saying, we will go, but you'll see us again. What is he saying? He's saying, you're not going to see me without my son. You're going to see me with my son again. And folks, that's what you and I need to have. That's the type of faith that you and I need to have in our lives. No different than what Greg talked about, the faith that he had in God providing the finances for him, how God had blessed him. The faith that Donovan had in describing with his infirmities that he had. Think about this, having your arm just being held up by your bone. Think about that for a moment. And just seeing how God had just undertook and healed and blessed him there. Allowing God to take control of the situation, having confidence in God, knowing that he will get you through those times. So with that being said, the third point that I want to look at tonight is faith is passed on. Faith is passed on. I've seen my parents throughout the years, and I've watched them, I've observed them, and I've noticed one thing. Well, I've noticed a lot of things, but I noticed one thing in particular, and that's their faith in God. And they taught that to their children. I can remember I was rehearsing this week with somebody, for the life of me, I can't remember who. And I can remember the vacations that we would take as a family. They didn't make great money, but God always provided. You know how he provided? Through the people of this church. There have been many times where I can remember going home, growing up on the 20th block of Avenue D, not knowing of the situation, not knowing that the finances weren't there, but going home and we're seeing 4 to 5 bags, sometimes up to 6 bags of groceries on our porch through the people of Open Door Baptist Church. Why are you saying that? Because we've got to have faith in God, that God will get us through those dark times. that God will deliver us. And sometimes God will use you to be a blessing to somebody else. Your faith that you demonstrate, that you practice, can be passed on to your kids. We read about this with Isaac, and it's obvious to Isaac there is going to be a sacrifice, but there wasn't an animal present at this point in time. And Isaac asked a question. Let's read this again. He asked a question, and it says in verse number 7, let me get back there. And Isaac spake unto his father, unto Abraham his father, and said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" One thing that I notice out of this is Isaac wasn't a dumb individual. He was smart, he was observant, and he was curious. "Okay, Dad, now that you got me up here, now that we're building this altar, now that we're gathering wood, Dad, where's the lamb that you were talking about?" Abraham said in verse number 8, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them, together. When going through those situations, we got to put our faith, trust, and confidence in the God who put us there to begin with, and trust that the outcome will be for his glory. I was not there when they did the procedure on our pastor a couple years ago. I was at work, but I was not there. My brothers told me of the situation. And as they wheeled Dad off into the prep room to go into surgery, my brother Jeff told me this. He says, "Dad says he'll be okay." And I didn't know what that meant at the time. I got there late, but after everything was said and done, now I know what it meant. Regardless of the outcome, he had put his faith and trust and was confident in God that no matter what it was, God will deliver him. And God will get the glory. Sometimes we got to go through that process for our faith to be increased. And that process at times can be very grueling. It can be very tiresome. It can just wear us out completely. But God is doing this for a reason. He wants our faith to be built. He wants our faith to be increased in him. And we see this go on in verse number 8. It says, "And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Now, here's another thing that amazes me. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to a place which God had told them of. And Abraham had built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. So after Isaac asked his father, "Hey, Dad, where's this animal at?" "Don't worry, son, God will provide." And so we read of the story, how the sticks are being gathered and the wood is being built. Then what do we read next? That Abraham bounds his own son and lays him upon the altar. Think about this. It's probably, I'm going to put it to you in this fashion. You look at the physical character of my father, and you look at me, there's a big difference. He's a little bit older, more wiser. I'm younger and unintelligent in a lot of areas. But you look at our bodies physically, I can probably take him. But there's one reason why I won't. Because he's my father. And I respect him. And I love him. I see that with Isaac. Isaac probably could have beat his father so bad that he could have just walked away from the situation and been done with it. But he's there, and I can just imagine what's going on. "Okay, Dad, well, there's a lamb you said was going to come, Dad. Time's kind of running out, and now you got me picking up sticks, and you're building the altar. Okay, Dad, now you got me tied up." Now he's on the altar. He's going to be sacrificed. There's steps in building your faith. And now the process is coming to an end. Verse number 10, it says, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Think of these words. Here am I. God, I'm in the midst of my storm, as we talked about last week. God, I'm in this journey right now that I'm not understanding. God, you're wanting me to be a leader. I don't understand these things. But God, here am I now. Now increase my faith. Because of the faith of Abraham, not just Abraham, but Isaac, as he laid upon the altar, God reaches down from heaven. This is just what I'm imagining in my mind, and spares the life of Isaac. Here they are, they're both here, and they're saying, God, here am I. Increase my faith. We don't read of any other time where Isaac is complaining about the fact that there's no lamb or ram at this point in time to be sacrificed. We don't read of those things. So what I'm imagining in my mind is their faith along this process is being built. When it comes to gathering of the stones, when it comes to building this altar, even when it comes to tying up his son and allowing himself to be tied, these are steps of the faith-building process. And this is where they're at in their life. They're not holding on to, but they're letting go. And that's what we need to be in our lives, not holding on to, but letting go and saying, God, here am I. Increase my faith. We see next here is the faith of a young man. The step he took forward is a step that probably most of us in here would probably have fled from. The very thing of faith he was taught from his father, now he was able to apply in his own life. Why are you saying this? Because how we live our lives, we are examined every single day by our children. Not just your own children, but everybody else's children as well. And your faith in God can be such a great testimony to them, and they can inherit that as well. And now he is able to apply that for himself. Why? Because he saw the faithfulness of his father being faithful to a God who supplied and delivered him from many situations. He didn't fight. He didn't argue with his father. He got on the altar of sacrifice. He took the step of faith. The step of faith, as he began to walk up, the first step, here am I. Increase my faith. Here are my hands, Father. Tie them up. Another step of faith. Here am I, as I begin to lay down upon the altar. Increase my faith, God. The Father raises the knife, and as he's laying there, here's another moment. Here am I, God. Increase my faith. At any given moment, Isaac and Abraham could have lost their faith in God. But what I see here is they kept their eyes and they kept their thoughts upon an almighty God. God honored their faith. Instead of Isaac being sacrificed and killed, a ram was provided. A lamb was slain in his place. Just like a lamb was slain in our place. The Son of God. So that you and I can have eternal life. Here am I, God. Increase my faith. Don't let me doubt you. Don't allow Satan to throw those darts at my mind to be able to captivate my mind and to be able to take my mind off of you, to have doubt in you and to lack confidence in you. But God, help me to increase my faith and to always be confident knowing that you are with me and you'll see me through this time. Why do we lack faith? Because we don't trust God during the process. We don't trust God during the process. year and a half ago, I delivered a sermon here. God made it very clear in my mind as I was driving over to the hospital to see our pastor. And that thought was, stop doubting me. Put your faith in me. Be confident because I am your God. Here am I, God. God, I trust you. I don't know the outcome, but God, you brought me here. And if this is where you want me to be, then this is the place where I need to be. We might not always agree with it, but we need to trust in the God that brings us there. We shy away and we hide from God. And all he wants to do is to build our faith in him. It's a building process. Think about this. Abraham was asked to put his son upon an altar and to sacrifice him. And at any point, Abraham could have said no. But what I see is a man who had faith in God and was confident that God was going to provide no matter what it was. Sometimes we need to take that step of faith. Don't shy away. Don't hide from God. So when our faith is being tested, say, here am I, God, increase my faith. That's what I see out of Abraham and Isaac at this point in time. Here am I, God. Yes, my faith needs to be increased. Do the work so that you can be glorified. I had these two guys up here tonight for one reason. So that you can see how God worked in their lives and how both of them gave God the glory. And God is building your faith. You just got to be willing to take the step.